Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to E-Ticket to Broadway, where Broadway meets Main Street. Here's your host, my pal, David Alpert.
Hello and welcome to another episode of E-Ticket to Broadway, where your favorite Broadway stars become your very own personal Disney travel agents. Before I introduce this episode's incredible guest, I want to ask a favor of you. If you're enjoying E-Ticket to Broadway, please head to Apple Podcasts and leave a favorable review and share with your friends. Additionally, check out our website, www.eticketpodcast.com, to learn about the Patreon rewards and how you can help support the podcast and Gilana's Fund, an organization committed to making the world a more accepting, inclusive, and just place. Believe it or not, I've never met the magical creature that is this episode's guest in person, but we were connected once I learned she was a big, big fan of the Disney theme parks, and I'm so glad that I was. This Tony Award winner has been seen on Broadway in Legally Blonde, Wicked, Kinky Boots, You Can't Take It With You, Sylvia, and Sunday in the Park with George, in addition to many television and film appearances. Keep your hands and arms inside the episode at all times. Here is Anna Lee Ashford. Thank you so much for joining, Annalie. I have heard through the grapevine that you love the Disney parks. Is that true?
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. I love Disney. It is magic. This is like one of my dreams, is just getting to sit and talk about all things Disney. I am a huge fan of the parks. I didn't get to go to them until later in life. It was like one of my childhood dreams to get to go. So now I go as much as I possibly can as an adult.
Yeah, that's perfect. So Annalie, this is probably the most important question I'm going to ask you this entire interview. Do you feel like you made your greatest impact on the world when you gave voice to one of the trolls in Frozen?
Yes. It was my greatest career accomplishment. It actually, like, there are times where people are like, what are your proudest moments? And I forget to say that I was in a Disney movie, people.
Yeah,
Hello. And that sort of happened in an accidental way. When the troll song came about, it was sort of farther into their process. It was actually in the spring before it came out that winter. And Stephen Aremus was the music director. And as you know, he was the music director of Kinky Boots and Wicked and Book of Mormon. And at the time, he needed like 16 to 20 singers to just come in and lay down the track to just see what it was going to sound like. They were like, we're probably going to re-record it later on, but we don't even know what we're doing. We don't know if the song is going to be in the movie. They just knew that they needed another song in that spot. So like 10 people from Kinky Boots and 10 people from Book of Mormon, which was so fun. It's like, you know, a party. We came together and we sang that song. It was so magical.
Fixer Upper. What a great song.
Right?
And your lyric, correct me if I'm wrong, or the pear-shaped, square-shaped weirdness of his feet.
Yes, mouthful. I still sometimes have problems doing it when we watch it or listen to it in the car. And my little boy will be like, Mom, that's you. And also when we play with Frozen things in our house, because I have an almost four-year-old, he'll pull out the trolls and go, Look, Mom, it's you, which is always great. It's great. It's my dream.
It's a beautiful moment. You've had such an incredible career so far, but I agree. You are a voice in the Disney movie. That's so cool.
Yeah, let's keep it going. Let's do some more Disney. I try to tell anybody who will listen, I would be great as some more Disney voices. Hello.
Agreed. Or maybe like Frozen 3, the troll can make an appearance. Like, yeah. Where's that backstory?
Or can I play their like weird aunt? Named like Geraldine, like, hi, Aunt Geraldine's here. Welcome. You know, or it could be Olaf's girlfriend.
Oh, sure.
Should I tell somebody? I don't know who to tell, but
I think they're listening. I think Disney is listening.
I've got a good pitch. Okay.
Yeah. Did your troll have a name?
No, but let's make one of now.
Okay.
How about Fruity Pebbles?
I love it. You talk about pears. That's a fruit. You're totally ready to go. Fruity Pebbles, the troll. You heard it here first.
Yeah, I was a rock before I became a troll. So, you know, I was a little troll. So I'm Fruity Pebbles.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Annalee, you're from Colorado, and you mentioned, though, you didn't go to the Disney parks as a kid. What, I mean, why not?
Well, I will clarify that. I actually did get to go to Disneyland once as a kid. I grew up in Denver, Colorado, and when I was a kid, we were living in humble circumstances, as most families are, and all of our extra money went to my dance classes and my voice lessons, and my family was amazing about providing me with like all of these awesome opportunities, and but they're expensive. Like I, you know, my dance costumes at my dance studio were expensive, and so the only like family vacations that we got to go on, and also my brother and sister are 10 and 8 years younger than me. But it was a really expensive thing to go all the way to California or to go all the way to Disney World. And you know, as an adult, I'm so aware at what a privilege and a treat it is to get to go to Disney World or Disneyland, and especially if you don't live in California or Florida. So I went to dance conventions in Vegas, so I weirdly know Vegas really well because I went a lot as a kid. And then one time I got to go to Orange County for a dance convention that Susan Egan was like the guest speaker at. And I remember I did a triple pirouette in front of her and landed it. And she was like, yes, girl, I see that triple. And it was like one of the best dance moments of my life. And that weekend I stayed with one of my grandma's friends, and she lived like a half an hour away from Disneyland. So she said, do you want me to take you to Disneyland? I got big tears in my eyes and said, yes, please. And she was like in her 60s at the time, and she took me on everything. We did Splash Mountain. We went on a really good day where the park wasn't too crowded, and I was allowed to spend $20 on merchandise. And I bought cat-eyed sunglasses with Mickey's on them, as every fifth grader does who wants to do musical theater. And I remember like crying when I left the park, like tears of joy, because I was so grateful for that day. So I did go one day as a kid to Disneyland, but I didn't get to go to Disney World until I was 20 years old on the road with Wicked, the first national tour. Stephanie Block was Elphaba and Kendra Kassebaum was Glinda. I was the understudy for Kendra Kassebaum. I was the Glinda understudy with Emily Rosick. And we were playing Tampa, and the head of guest relations in Disney World was a friend of somebody's through the show. And so we were invited to go to Disney World. And so I got to go for the first time and had a really special day. I got to go to all four parks. I also got to ride Expedition Everest before anybody ever rode it. They were just like testing it, so we got to test it. And I remember when I left, I bought a children's jacket that had all the princesses on it from like – is a children's size, but I wore it as a jacket that you can wear in life. And it was pink, and somebody took a picture of me in front of the castle, and I had capris on, which I think is really Disney appropriate. And I cried again when we were leaving, and people were like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, just these are tears of joy. I'm just so grateful that I got to experience this. It was like the most magical way to go to Disney World. So that's it.
I love that you had so many magical experiences going to each park for the first time. And I think it just kind of impacted you to be an adult now and love it so much.
Yeah. And then I didn't get to go back again until my husband and I got married while I was doing Kinky Boots. And we didn't get to have a honeymoon. I only got to take a couple days off, you know, because we were in a Broadway show. So we got married on a Monday. And then we always said, we'll go on a big honeymoon later on. And we actually didn't go for another 3 years. We went to Europe for a couple weeks and planned and everything. But I said, in the meantime, right when I finish, right when I'm done with Kinky Boots, let's go to Disney World for a couple days. So I got my wisdom teeth out, and then we went to Disney World. and we went for 3 days, and I planned it out immaculately. My best friend, Craig Jessup, also known as Breedlove, is a giant Disney aficionado. He's really, really special and magical. And when it comes to all things Disney, he knows it all. His Uncle Graham was a cast member at Disneyland, and his uncle Harley is both last name Jessup. Harley Jessup is one of the art directors at Pixar. You will see his name as art director on films like Ratatouille and most recently Coco and a whole bunch of other magical Pixar hits. But like, he's really, really fancy and special in the land of Pixar.
Cool.
So he helped me plan out our 3-day trip. And then after that, my husband was hooked. And now we go twice a year because we check, you know, all the things you can check to look up Disney stuff. And we plan out our trips to a T.
When you went to Disney World after Kinky Boots, how much time had passed between the wisdom teeth surgery and the trip? Like, were you on Vicodin?
3 days. I have big, huge black circles under my eyes because that happens sometimes when you get your top wisdom teeth taken out. And I was like, who cares? I'll just put a little makeup on and wear sunglasses. Let's go. And I was super swollen. You can see in the pictures my mouth's all swollen.
Oh, no.
But I let people, especially when we would go as adults at that time in our life, like now we have a little guy, so people are sort of like, oh, okay. But people who aren't Disney people or they don't know or they didn't go and didn't plan it. You listeners out there, you're Disney people, so you know you got to plan your trip. But if you don't do those things, sometimes you don't understand like what an incredible experience you can have. You're going to have an incredible experience no matter what because it's Disney. But when you take that extra step and you plan and you ask questions and you ask where to eat for what, and I just think there's people in our life that were like, really? You're going to Disney World again? That's what people always say to us. You're going to Disney World again? And we're like, yeah, it's the happiest place on earth. Why wouldn't we?
Yep. And the great thing is, and Lee, on this podcast, you don't have to defend that as you haven't. It's like everyone listening and definitely I'm supporting you. It's like, yeah. You go as much as you can.
Hello. Also, you know, there's something somebody at one point told me, they were like, I was saying how much I love Epcot. And they were like, you know, I just like prefer to actually go to Italy. I want to take my kids to Italy and not Epcot in Italy. And I said, I just want to pause there for a second. And I agree with you. I want my kids to experience other places in the world and not just take them to Disney World. And Disney World can be expensive, but it can also be affordable depending on how you do it. And on that note, Disney gives you really good options in terms of hotel pricing. So if you are in more of a budget bracket for a value hotel, you have that option. Or if you want to have a splurge year, you can do a moderate. You know, there's a lot of options for families, and you can even camp at Camp Wilderness. And I just think that not everybody has the financial ability to go to Tokyo or go to Rome, but it's really exciting to share those lands and places and different cultures with your kids in another way, which is through Disney World. And if they get excited and interested, maybe they'll do an exchange program, or maybe they'll do a semester abroad at some point. I just think it's a cool way to expose, you know, kids to those cultures, even if you don't have the means to take them to those places. It's another thing that was part of Walt Disney's dream.
I love that. I was just like listening to you being like, this is very wise. This is a totally different kind of conversation. Like, you are a wonderful, like, Disney travel agent.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Come on.
I am constantly trying to sell people Disney World trips of all ages. I'm always reminding people that one of Walt Disney's dreams about all of the parks, and I think that Disney has really stayed true to this concept, like Bob Iger talks about it, is that the parks are supposed to be places for families to go from ages 2 to 82 so that everybody can have a good time. And I really think that is it's an accessible dream, and it's also something that they're achieving throughout the parks, whether it's in Disneyland or whether it's in all four parks in Disney World. You can go to each park and bring your, you know, 80-year-old grandma, depending on the, you know, the heat that day.
Exactly.
But you can bring them and you can bring the baby and they both can have a good time. There's just so much to do, right?
Annalie, the first time you brought your son Jack, what was that like for you in the parks?
Okay, well, it's I'm embarrassed to tell you how little he was.
Okay, this is a safe place.
I know. So we went to Disneyland and Disney World. Disneyland we went when he was 8 months old, and he had on a Mickey sweatshirt, and he was a late talker and even a late babbler. But we caught his first like blah blah blah, blah. You know, babies are like blah blah blah. He did it for the first time at Disneyland. It was so sweet. It was magical.
Annalie, my first time at Disneyland was 5 months. So like,
yes.
I'm with you.
That's the way we roll.
Your son is going to grow up and have a Disney podcast. That's just how it works if they go before they turn one.
We hope so. You know, we're living vicariously through him too. So we did that at 8 months, and then we went, I talked my brother and my sister when they both graduated from college, I talked them and the rest of my family into having their graduation present be a trip to Disney World. So my dad agreed and my mom agreed, and me and Joe planned a very elaborate week of Disney World magic for my brother's graduation from college first. We stayed at the boardwalk. And then my sister's graduation from college was a year later. And again, we stayed at the boardwalk, but it was the week of Thanksgiving, which was so fun to be there during the holidays. And we planned it to a T. That can be a night where a week to go, but we planned it so beautifully that we had a magical experience, like always.
Annalie, if you were to get a job in the parks, what job would you want?
Oh, that's such a good question. You know what? I think about this a lot. I mean,
I think we all do.
To be honest, there's a couple of different scenarios. So
great.
I'd love to be an Imagineer. In another lifetime, like I think maybe I was Mary Blair.
Yes.
I know.
Will you please be Mary Blair for Halloween this year?
I know. I would love to. That's actually a great idea. I wonder if Jack
and
will let
your
me.
Your son is a Small World doll.
Oh.
And your husband can be like the building, like the Small World structure.
That's such a good idea. Jack actually gets really specific about what he wants us to be. So last year he was like, I'm going to be Forky and you and Dad are going to be Benson and Gracie has to be Buzz Lightyear. Our dog is Gracie. So me and Joe had to figure out how to be Benson. He kept changing his mind because he was just turned 3. So I don't know what he's going to make us be this year. He keeps telling me that I have to be Bo Peep. He just really loves Toy Story a lot. So
sure.
Anyways, I don't know what
Well, maybe we can like hint, just keep dropping hints about Mary Blair between now and October.
I know. Mary Blair kind of looked like Bo Peep. They had a similar bang style. So
sure.
Maybe I can just rock it.
So Imagineer.
Yeah, I'd love to be an Imagineer because I love to, I'm really good at creating puppets and figuring out problem solving, how to make a mural work or how to make it come alive. That is like the attention to detail is something I thrive in. And visually too. Like I love visual arts. Like I would have been an elementary school art teacher if I wasn't, if I wasn't a storyteller. So that, and then I'd also, I would love to work at really any of the kiosks. I think that they're unsung heroes. The kiosk workers, they have a really hard gig, but they get to see people sort of buy things in the heat of the moment that they need really bad and kind of impulsively. And like they get to see people be kind of have manic magic, you know, that Disney manic magic that you have when
yes.
You're like, the parade is starting and I need that light up bubble blower. I have to have it. I think there's something kind of fabulous.
Like kiosk, like food kiosk or specifically merchandise? Are we selling pins?
All of the above. And then I'm like thinking about which specific park that I would love like to work in. I think it'd be fun to do the parades. There's a part of me that when I'm always like, it's ironically, I always want to do things that are not performing. So in the parades, like I'd actually rather be as one of the soldiers that is a soldier. I couldn't be, I guess I could, it doesn't matter, gender, whatever.
Oh, no.
One of the soldiers in the toy story. I know, I'm just not tall enough. That's the thing. When you're starting to be characters, it's like not really about gender. It's about how tall you are. So I was like, well, who would I be if I got to go? And they were like, you'd probably be an Alice because of your height.
Yeah,
I was like, really? You could be friends with Alice. Aurora. I'm not quite tall enough to be Aurora.
I think you could be really great friends with Mickey, though.
I do, too. Like,
I think that'd be great.
Right? I probably, too, I'd be a Alice or I'd be a Wendy, maybe.
Yes.
I don't know if I had got to be a character, but I don't think I'd get to be the princesses. I'm too short. I don't know.
Inside. You can be a princess on the inside.
On the inside.
So, same question, but for Margot from Legally Blonde. What role or what job do you think she would have in the parks?
Okay, Margot from Legally Blonde. I think she would sell pretzels.
Okay.
Because she really likes pretzels a lot.
That's
she great. Loves a soft pretzel. That is so weird and random.
I know, it's perfect. It's so good.
Oh, silly. We'll be right back. Oh, what's the big idea with these commercials? Oh, if this were my show.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
It's time for Fast Pass Answers!
Emily, here comes everyone's favorite. This is Fast Pass Answers. I'm going to ask you some questions, and after I ask the first one, you'll have 30 seconds to answer as many as possible. Okay. Are you ready?
Oh my God, I'm nervous, but yes, I'm ready.
Yes. We're going to breathe in, breathe out. There we go. Fast Pass Answers. Emily, what is your favorite Disney movie?
Sleeping Beauty.
Name a ride in Fantasyland.
Oh my gosh. Peter Pan.
Favorite snack in the parks?
I can't eat them anymore because I have celiac disease, but they were soft pretzels.
Name a character from Snow White.
Sleepy.
True or false, you have a Tony Award?
True.
Favorite Disney character?
Aurora.
Time. That was very exciting. So we really like Aurora in Sleeping Beauty.
She's my child. Well, you know what, really, who I really love, even more than Aurora, she's my very, for some reason, Sleeping Beauty was my favorite when I was a little girl. I think as an adult now, actually, like Wall-E, In-N-Out, Toy Story 3. Toy Story 3, I think, is my favorite movie of all the Disney movies. But
it's so sad.
Oh my God, it's beautifully crafted as a film.
When they hold hands, when they're holding hands and they're in the inferno, it's like,
We listen to the whole soundtrack a lot, including the orchestrations, you know, like we listen to the whole soundtrack. And it's just so beautifully crafted. And for real, it's one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time. It's like Goodfellas, Toy Story 3, and Two Wong Fu Things for Everything, Julie Newmar. Yes. Like, yes. Top 10. Those are in my top 10. But Sleeping Beauty, for some reason, when I was a little girl, I loved it so much. And I think it's because Meriwether, the third fairy of the good fairies, who she saves her blessing for last, and she's the one who helps break the curse. She and she's also, she looked like my grandma. That's a lot like what my grandma looked like. And I would always be like, grandma's like Meriwether. And she was so silly. And my grandma was so silly and funny. So we have a picture, a hand drawing of Meriwether in that we got in Disney World in Jack's room. And then Joe loves Peter Pan. It was the first play he ever did as a kid. And it's his favorite. And Captain Hook was his favorite. And Jack loves Captain Hook. We did the pirate cruise. We spent extra money and did the pirate cruise. It was worth every penny. And he showed up as Captain Hook and had a mustache, the whole thing. And he had like an epic experience with Captain Hook. So we have a hand drawing of Captain Hook in his bedroom too. Those two. So I think Meriwether's maybe my favorite character. And of course, Mickey.
Yeah. Does that mean, though, that you prefer Sleeping Beauty in blue?
Oh, I love her in purple, which means I love when she gets that splash thing happen. Yeah, you know, yeah, when it's like a mess for a second.
Yeah. The most diplomatic answer, too.
Oh, yeah. The best. So I love both. I love when it's a mess. And there was a time where they sold a version when I was a little girl and we couldn't afford it. So maybe I'll have it as an adult. There was a version of the costume for Aurora that they sold at the Disney store, and you could pull back the tulle, and so it kind of looked purple. So you could pull it back and it was pink, and then you could put the blue over it, but it kind of looked purple. And I was like, oh, I like it purple anyways.
Put on your thinking ears. It's trivia time. Oh boy.
It is time for trivia. Here we go. Annalie, located at both Disneyland, which was unveiled in 1993, and Walt Disney World, unveiled in 1995, the statue of Walt and Mickey is a beautiful image located at the end of Main Street. Designed by Blaine Gibson, this statue can also be seen at Tokyo Disney, Disneyland Paris, as well as at the Walt Disney Studios in Burbank. What is the statue called?
I don't know. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. It has to be something about magic or dreams, I hope. I don't know the answer to this. And there was a part of me that was like, you're a bad Disney person because I don't know.
You're not.
But I'm open to learning. What's it called?
Well, what would you name it?
Walking into the future. Well, wait. What would I call it? I'd call it like the Land of Dreams. I don't know.
Oh, I love that. It's actually called Partners.
Partners.
It's the Partners statue.
Oh, I love that. That's cool. That's gorgeous.
And this is what's crazy. I just learned this. The plaques that are on the statues are slightly different between land and world. At Disneyland, the plaque says, I think most of all, what I want Disneyland to be is a happy place where parents and children can have fun together. And at Disney World, it's slightly different. It's, we believe in our idea, a family park where parents and children could have fun together. But I love that earlier on, you talked about your grandmother that's 82 and your kid that's 2 can have a good time together. You are so on brand with this partner statue, Annalie.
Oh, I believe in that so much. And I believe that that's a way to look at every vacation that you go on with your family. Like, how can we make this enjoyable for every person? And that's the gift about the Disney parks. Joe always says, like, I can't wait to let our freak flags fly. Like, we can be ourselves in every way when we get into the park. And we look hilarious and we wear full out outfits, and I have like lots of spirit teas that I save my money up for, and like I order my ears ahead of time. Like, it's a whole thing. And part of that is we are part of what makes us special, I think, as performers, is that we are connected to our childlike spirit. We have to be creative. Yeah. And to be a storyteller, you have to have a connection with your childlike spirit. So we're more used to being in that headspace, but it's really exciting to watch all these people around us who don't get to connect to that childlike spirit as often to just let go and relax and be in a place where thoughtfulness and kindness matters. That's one of the special things that I love about Disney World is the cast members. There's the customer service in the Disney parks is better there than it is anywhere else in the world. And part of it is just the mentality of kindness and loving. And, you know, when you go to guest services, we always try to say, hey, are you having a magical day back? We always ask because I think it's important to do that. And I always think we have such a great experience and it makes our, you know, of course there's going to be things that go wrong and you need help with. And that's just the world. And I always say when we go to guest services, it's just such a magical experience. And that comes from the top down and it comes from sort of that, you know, that statement, that mission statement. One time we were staying at one of the hotels in Disney World and we walked by, they accidentally had a curtain open that was a training room for cast members at that hotel. And they had some of like they had an outline of their mission statement for treating guests. And it was so beautiful. And it was all based around kindness. It's also like a place where, you know, we've been quite a bit to Disney World, I'd say at least twice a year, the two of us as a couple. And then I had Jack in 2016. So we all know, like, no matter what side of the political spectrum you are on, things got more divided in 2016, no matter who you are, you know, voting for, whatever. But it was always just a place that we could go where that wasn't part of the conversation. You know, it was like such a nice place to be free of that topic, that chatter, that energy. And unfortunately, it's, you know, it's overwhelmed us in the world, but not in Disney World. So that's been a treat.
In the Tony-winning musical Kinky Boots, you originated the role of Lauren and brought to life the song The History of Wrong Guys. And as this podcast combines Broadway and the Disney parks, we're going to play The History of Wrong Guys Disney Edition. I'm going to share some clues and I need you to tell me which wrong guy I'm talking about. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, this is funny.
Okay, here we go. So The History of Wrong Guys Disney Edition number one. This wrong guy hails from France, and though every last inch of him's covered in hair, he is incredibly self-centered and doesn't care about anyone but himself. You said it. It's Gaston.
I know. I'm sorry. I should have interrupted. I forgot that we didn't have a timer.
Oh, you know what? What gave it away, France or the hairiness?
Oh, France, baby.
Yeah, you're like, it could have been something in Ratatouille, but... Perfect. Well done. You are one for one. I'm really proud of you. Okay, number two. This wrong guy is a big old cat. And not only does he kill his brother for power, he tries to kill his nephew too to hold on to the throne.
Scar.
It is Scar. Very good.
Thank you.
This next wrong guy is a real devil. Whenever he gets mad, his hair ignites on fire and he's obsessed with the planets aligning.
Hades.
Yes. Hades is great. We love Hades.
We've been watching Hercules a lot lately. Jack's really into it. And I'm like, Lilias White is in my bedroom.
Well, the first episode was Susan Egan for this. And I was just like fangirling the entire time. I was like, oh my God, you sound just like Meg. And then you saw Italy do a triple pirouette.
Can you believe that? It was mind blowing. I love her too.
Okay. Our fourth wrong guy, much like the queen in Snow White, is able to transform himself into a hunched over old person and is the only Disney villain to say the terrifying word, Abubu.
Ooh, Jafar.
It is Jafar. Like, what is up with like that transformation? He's this like sultan-like person and then...
I know, because you don't think he has that much power, but he does it with potions because he's a sorcerer. Remember what did they always call him?
I guess.
See, that's why Aladdin's like, the genie will always have more power than you, because he says, make me the most powerful sorcerer, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Oh my gosh. Can you tell I watch a lot of Disney movies?
I love it.
It's enjoyable though. I'm okay with that.
Number five, this bat-like demon creature is the absolute wrong guy because he's terrified me since the 80s and makes me close my eyes during Fantasmic. He was seen in Fantasia with the music of Night on Bald Mountain.
Ooh, you maybe got me. Bat-like creature in Fantasia. It's like the only movie that I don't know that well. And he's in Fantasmic.
He does make an appearance in Fantasmic. And he's also terrifying.
I actually don't know who it is. I know I can see it, but I don't know the name.
Okay, don't see it. I need that visual out of your mind because it's scary.
It is his scary. His name is
Chernabog, and we're going to move on.
Wow, that was a good one. That was like a $5 million answer one, you know, like high level. But that is, you know, it's that part two of Fantasmic where you're like, oh, are you okay, Jack? You scared.
Number six, this wrong guy made us all collectively gasp in the movie theater when we learned what a bad guy he truly was. It was made even more shocking by the fact that he was voiced by the very kind Tony Award winner, Santino Fontana.
Hans.
It is Hans. Yeah, definitely Hans.
Santino. What a great gig. Totally deserves it, too. Magic.
You know who else gave the voice in that movie?
Who? Well, Jonathan.
You.
Oh, yeah, you. Me.
It was you. We were on the same movie.
We were singing today in the car with Jack this morning. Show yourself. Da-na-da-na-na-na. I'm like, oh, I love Adina. I could just listen to Adina sing all day.
This seventh wrong guy is a little monster. He lives next door to Andy and finds pleasure in blowing up innocent, kind toys who are smarter than him.
Sid.
Yes, it's Sid. Okay, we've got three more. Here we go. This wrong guy continually tries to murder a boy who will never grow up, attempts to drown a young woman, and routinely kills his employees.
Captain Hook, man, but he's very funny.
I know, he's very funny. He wears great coats. But yes, not a great guy.
And absolutely a homosexual in the most magical, best way. Like, hello.
Oh my gosh, of course. I love him. Number nine. The jungle creature that is Tarzan mistakenly thinks that this wrong guy's name is the sound of a gunshot.
Oh, you know, I don't know this guy's name. This is going to be one I don't know too, but we watched Tarzan. I don't know his name.
He actually suffers a terrible death as well. His name is Clayton.
Yes. Oh, okay. That was a tricky one too. Tough one.
Tricky. Clayton. Okay. And final, History of Wrong Guys, Disney edition. This one is a Tim Burton creation. He's a bag of insects, is voiced by Broadway legend Ken Page, and at Disneyland replaces the hitchhiking ghosts on the Haunted Mansion during the Halloween and Christmas seasons.
Is it the Boogeyman?
It's Oogie Boogie.
He's the Oogie Boogie Man. It's good. Yes. It's fabulous. Yes.
You did so well. Congratulations.
Yeah, how did I do compared to other people? I mean, I know they have different categories, but I feel like now my
You were perfect. You were great. I want you to sleep very well tonight knowing you did a great job.
I feel really good about that. That Oogie Boogie song. I'm the Oogie Boogie Man. I used to babysit these people and they had like a Disney like compilation CD, and I used to play it when the kids would go to bed, and I would dance to that and create choreography to it because it was sort of sexy. And I would I would make sexy dances to it. I love that song.
Now let's hear from some of you.
We put it on social media. Your fans are very excited to ask you about Disney. Let's kick it off. Fernando wants to know, what is your favorite Walt Disney World food?
My favorite Walt Disney World food is, oh God, I'm so, oh, Dole Whip, hands down. Dole Whip, Dole Whip,
Dole Whip. Dole Whip, Dole Whip.
And not the float, not the float. I like it just.
You do have to clarify, yeah.
But sometimes I get the float just to have it.
Jeff asks, which Broadway show that you've done could be turned into a Disney attraction?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, some of them would be very odd. But you know what? Sunday in the Park with George would be a really beautiful Disney attraction because...
That is a brilliant answer. Yes.
You could go through the painting.
Yes. The second half of the ride would be a little confusing.
Yeah, you know, but you'd get an 80s light show, so who cares?
Yes, you would. Yeah, totally. Nadia asks, last year, Theater Mania dreamcast you in a Hocus Pocus remake as Sarah, alongside Patti LuPone and Anne Hirata. Is there a Disney character, either animated or live action, that you'd love to recreate? And my question is, why is it Sarah Sanderson?
First of all, that casting, I was like, did somebody, are we doing this? And nobody told me, because that would be happened. It would be the best thing that ever happened. Even if we just did a concert performance of it, literally when I saw that, I was like, whoever put this together, I feel like I didn't pay them for this. This is the best thing that ever happened. There are times that, I imagine certain movies that haven't been made into musicals. Like, I always try to figure out how I could do Moana on stage, or figure out how I could make The Princess and the Frog on stage, because I like those scores. I think the scores are so beautiful, and they always, and also Tangled. What about that, guys? But in terms of characters, I feel like I would like to play. I kind of want to play Mother Gothel, but because she's sort of weird. Mama knows best. Listen to your mama.
You're going to have to fight Leslie Margarita for that.
Did she say that too?
Yes. Everyone.
Okay. Well, she can play it and I'll direct it. I'll direct
okay,
it.
Perfect.
And I'll adapt it for the stage.
We can double cast. We'll double cast it. It'll be great.
But also, she'd be so great. I actually would rather see her do it than me. I don't know who I want to be. I think I want to be maybe, I don't know. I don't know yet.
Sarah Sanderson, you can let me know. You can, and we'll put it on the Instagram page.
Actually, Sarah Sanderson is, I think, the dream.
It's going to be great. Yeah. Crazy for Stitch asks, if you could be miscast as any Disney character, who would you be?
Gaston.
Okay.
You know why? Because Hugh Jackman played him. And he always ends up being very delightful. I know he's a bad guy, but, you know, I think he's killer part. Killer part.
Killer part.
Literally.
Our last question. Alana asks, do you have a favorite pair of mouse ears?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I just got them. We have a friend who is working at Disney World and has gone obviously since they've opened, and I saw on the Disney food blog and on Instagram that they had the ears that were Mickey hands, so I got those, and they're in second place favorite right now, but my very favorite is my rhinestone studded pair of ears by the Blondes. My favorite designers. Favorite designers made my favorite ears. They're like the best thing I think I own. Like, not just like own of Disney stuff. I think I own in my life.
Your most prized possession.
I'm not kidding you. Like, they go in a special box and they are in a prized place. I prefer them to my fanciest shoes. Like, seriously, they're the best thing I own.
It's time for some tough choices. Let's play Tweedledee or Tweedledum.
So, Annalie, this is Tweedledee or Tweedledum. I'm going to give you two options. Let me know which one you prefer. Tweedledee or Tweedledum, The Jungle Cruise, or It's a Small World?
It's a Small World.
Mary Blair. She's full circle.
Love Mary Blair. And also, it's pure magic. I mean, The Jungle Cruise is too, but I could go on It's a Small World like multiple times a day. It's also a lot easier to get on too. The Jungle Cruise is like a really long line.
I find in Disneyland it's the opposite.
Really? Oh my gosh.
It depends on the holiday version, though. It's like.
The restaurant across the street from the Jungle Cruise is also delicious and has some incredible gluten-free options. Like, as a person with celiac disease, the last time we ate there, I think I had gluten-free calamari and gluten-free little, like, bread things that had cheese. It was an amazing gluten-free meal, and they have gluten-free fried chicken. So I'm just saying, it's an incredible meal for celiac people, or just, you know, people who don't eat gluten.
Yeah. Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Tomorrowland or Galaxy's Edge?
Tomorrowland, because I'm taking that back. Galaxy's Edge, because that new Rise of the Resistance ride is the best ride I've ever been on in my whole life. In tie with Flights of Passage in Pandora.
Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Hercules or Mulan? And we're talking the movie, not the characters.
Okay, I have to just add one more thing onto my last answer. But okay. The only reason I said that is because of that ride. But as a land, I prefer Tomorrowland over Galaxy's Edge.
Sure. Okay. I hear that.
Okay. Hercules or what?
Hercules or Mulan. And we're talking the movie, not the character.
Hercules, because of the score.
Yes. I mean, Mulan is a great score too, but that score of Hercules cannot be beat.
It can't be beat. So amazing. Yes, yes, yes.
Last Tweedledee or Tweedledum. Oh my God, you guys, or Raise You Up, Just Be.
Raise You Up, Just Be, because it has the message of the century. Okay.
Yep. The next time you go to a Disney park, what's the first thing you want to do?
Oh, I want to take a picture in front of the castle with my family and Dole Whip.
Yes, like the Dole Whip's in the photo with you.
Absolutely.
Yes. Great. Well, Annalie, thank you so much for joining. This was such a delight. I love hearing all of your travel tips and your love of Disney World and all of that. So thank you so much for your time.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure. And just to give some love to everybody out there, I suggest that the next time you go to Disney World, just dive in full force and bring somebody who wouldn't normally go, because you can spark some joy in them that they didn't even know they needed.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you again, Annalie, and we'll see you at the parks.
Yeah, I can't wait to go with you. Let's have a fun, magic day.
'76 trombones led the big parade. With 110 cornets, no sedan. Oh, I love parades.
Oh, Phil!
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.